Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Saturday, the 14th of August, 1999. We are in the Creekside Room of Koinonia this morning, and your presenter is Luther Snow. The title of today's session is Change Clinic, and it is 99-4. Let's listen in.
Counting on some of those of you who've been here before, to help lead today, because what we're going to do is try out some of the lessons that we've learned over the past week. I'll give a little introduction for those of you who haven't been here this week, and also Monday's session will be a full introduction and a kind of overview of the whole concept of breaking out of self-perpetuating cycles of the status quo and how to get into new positive cycles in all aspects of life. Just to get into it, I'm a community economic developer. I was born and raised in Chicago, and I worked in some of the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago. I worked for an outfit called Bethel New Life, which some of you might have heard of because it's based in a Lutheran church on the west side of Chicago. And creating new hope through new action in a inner city African-American slum, basically. Building new housing, starting new economic enterprises, recycling and otherwise, sewing co-ops, new holistic healthcare center, that sort of thing. People would always ask me, bank presidents and college students and church club members, does it make a difference? Can it work? Can it succeed? And that gave me the spark, as it were, to think about why things stay the same and what it takes to make things change. And I began to notice that things seem to move in cycles and that they reinforce each other. I've given many different examples of it here this week, but the concept is that something happens here at this point and it causes this to happen, which causes this to happen, which reinforces this. Well, I thought that was the best marker. Maybe it depends on how I do it. Boy, I started out the week talking about machine politics in Chicago, how the winners of an election get the spoils of the government, and that allows them to give out jobs and patronage. And that allows them to build a workforce, a campaign workforce that allows them to win the election. But I found those kind of examples in all over the place, in nature, in art, in science. I've given these examples for those of you who are new this week. I found this in a book about the origin of life in the universe. Basically, person Werner Lowenstein is talking about information and how information started from little ripples of energy at the origin of the universe, and it's recycled through DNA and protein and RNA, and each time it goes around in a loop and builds more information in the cycle that builds to the complex organisms that we have today. I took examples from Stephen Hawking. You've heard of the Big Bang, talk about a spark. You think, well, that's something that just happened and created a whole new cycle. But here's Stephen Hawking talking about the cycle of the universe going from the Big Bang and expanding out to its maximum size and coming back down to something called the Big Crunch when time goes backwards. And that's another idea of how the cycle perpetuates itself. Yesterday, now I think it was Thursday, I talked about what I'm especially expert at, which is urban neighborhood cycles. And this is, you know, a complicated chart to try to grasp in a minute, but there's a wasteful cycle of neighborhood change where a neighborhood goes from being an enclave down to becoming a slum and then being gentrified and becoming an enclave again. And there's waste of social capital and waste of physical capital as the housing is deteriorated and factories are deteriorated and the networks of people are destroyed here. And there's waste again as government surplus and subsidy is used to try to rebuild what eventually becomes an enclave. And so our idea is, how do we break out of these cycles into something positive? And here's this healthy, sustainable, just neighborhood inside, where we start by thinking about our assets. We did a whole session on Tuesday on asset-based community development. And then we say, okay, now that we've figured out our assets, we can demonstrate that to external sources that there's a another way of doing things. And so we were able to do this at Bethel and Lubbock. Now, for-profit developers are building housing in the West Garfield Park community. After demonstrating the value of reinvesting in the inner city, now bank presidents come down to Washington, D.C. to lobby for the Community Reinvestment Act, which is the act that requires banks to reinvest their assets. And they're doing that because they've seen the success of an alternative cycle. Well, all that's been pretty much kind of in my area of expertise, or areas of expertise, and I've used those as examples for you all. Today what we want to do is talk about your stories. You know, we've talked this week with Ralph and with Jan about the stories that drive our lives. Well, all of you have stories, and that's part of the point of what we've been talking about here this week is that each of us creates new hope through our actions and the spheres that we concentrate on and the work that we do. Whether that's breaking out of the cycle of alcoholism in a family, whether that's getting a new school board elected, whether that's helping to reinstate a prairie where it's been clear cut, all different kind of aspects. And so that the cycle that I am most interested in is the cycle of hope and action. Thinking, gee, can't make a difference, because we have seen it make a difference, we have hope. And we have hope because we've taken action. And the hope that each of us creates through our own action inspires others. I don't think the low-income women in the west side of the city of Chicago who created some new housing there ever dreamed that they'd be providing inspiration to a group of folks out here in Washington. But they did. And when you're doing that, your hope is creating action in others. Your action is creating hope in others. And so I guess I'm looking at the whole thing as kind of one big cycle of breaking out of negative self-reinforcing loops, vicious circles, and into positive ones. So here today, what we want to do is to try to create some new hope. We want to build this kind of cycle. And I want to do that by making us into consultants. We're going to be group consultants for a couple of projects, I think, is what we can handle here. And what I want to do is to try to elicit from the group here some volunteer. I think I need two to be a person to say, I have a situation where the status quo perpetuates itself in my workplace, in my profession, in my family. In my community, in my geographic community, or it could be an ethnic or interest community. And, you know, you could use some group thinking on how to break out of that cycle. And I would like to use some tools that I've developed here to try to help this group to figure out how to break out of those cycles. So, I'm open for suggestions. Who would like to be a guinea pig here, or a receive free consulting help? Yes, ma'am. What's your name again?
Lisa Smotherman.
Uh-huh.
The church where I'm administrative assistant is in a rebuilding process after a very turbulent last 4 years. And we dwindled down to 50 members. We're back up over 100 now. But trying to keep that cycle going so there aren't just a few people doing all the work and trying to provide all the inspiration.
Okay, so example number one, rebuilding church. I gotta find one marker that's clear before we're done today.
I think the other room.
Yeah, great. Somebody else. We can use at least two, and we can select for more than that.
Well, a concern I have, but it doesn't directly affect me, it indirectly affects me, and maybe this is something you want to tackle, Luther. And I began discussing it with Jonathan, because when he was talking about North Korea and Africa, I said, you know, we're so far removed from that place. And he said, I know, you need to tackle what's closer to home. My concern right now is the Iowa farmer and what's going to happen. and how that's going to affect.
Small firms, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I like that.
But I mean, I don't
people know what that means. Yes? Flight of the small farmer. We can talk about it in analysis when we get into a group. Other ones?
In South Dakota, we have a problem with the poverty on the Indian reservation.
Seems
to have no solution.
I've got probably some feedback into that one, too, if you wanted to take that one on.
Okay.
I was sitting here thinking of whether to bring that up or not.
Uh-huh. Okay, so reservation, poverty.
Poverty and other things and the cycles that it...
Yes. We talk about the cycle of poverty, and then it relates to health, and it relates to
exactly
education and economic opportunity and gambling and so forth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any others? Yes, sir.
African-American or minority teenage pregnancy. I know it's all cultures, but it's particularly in the New York City area, it's tough.
All right. Okay, I'm going to cut it off there. We got four things to choose from here, and it's a good-sized group, but these two groups, especially if we got a few more folks here or over there, you know, just to get it about half like that would be about good. So, I guess a show of hands would be the thing, and if the hands here is not, is it good or bad or respect or anything like that, it's just, what could you feel yourself, getting some energy into working on? Okay? So we got A, B, C, and D. All right? And I'm going to take the top two vote getters. Okay, problem number A, rebuilding a church. Raise your hands.
How many times do we get to vote? Just once?
For two.
Vote for two.
Go ahead and vote twice. I left weird voting systems. Don't vote three times. Not in Chicago. Don't vote once. That'll mess you up too. Okay? Alright, so. How many help me count? Who's my counter? How many I got?
11.
12. Flight of the small farmer. You counting those?
17.
18. Poverty, the cycle of poverty, especially in the Indian reservation. Moses is close. And, African-American teen pregnancy, another teen pregnancy. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, well, that made that a little easier. But just going by straight vote, because I don't have enough time here, I'm going to pick these two. Rebuilding church is really interesting, because that's institutional dynamics. You can be around Tuesday?
Leaving Sunday.
Well, we will do institutional dynamics on Tuesday. We can talk more about that. We had a session that kind of came on that Sunday. Okay, so... we wanted two groups here in circles. One is the small farmer, the other is y'all were reservation poverty. So let's 1, 2, 3, really kind of 4 steps in the process here. Okay. And what we've learned this week is first question you have to ask, and sometimes you have to come back to it, is the question of scope. What is this system? What's inside of it? What's outside of it? The small farmer. What is the system that the small farmer is in? Okay. Is it just that individual small farmer, or is it a rural community, or is it the agricultural economy? Over here, reservation poverty. Once again, you might have to decide, does the system stop at the reservation border? Is that what you want to look at? Is it a cycle within the individual family? Remember what we said, sometimes that makes a big difference. You know, an earthquake seems like a cataclysmic event until you look at the system of plate tectonics. Hmm? This neighborhood change, gentrification, looks good unless you look at it as a 30-year cycle where it's part of a wasteful, destructive kind of thing. So first, agree on what the system is, what's inside it, what's outside it, okay? And the next thing is, what is the cycle that perpetuates the status quo? How does the status quo perpetuate itself? You need at least 2 points on that circle to make it a circle, sometimes 3, sometimes 4. Okay? But what we're looking at is
one thing that creates another, an effect in another thing that creates an effect in another thing that gets you back to the original circumstance of poverty, I guess, over here, and what failure of small farms over here. Okay, and we'll probably stop there, but then the next thing is to start to envision a positive change. I mean, what is it that we want to accomplish? What's different from the status quo? When we talk about that, we're going to need to think about strengths and weaknesses and so forth, which will lead us into these sparks in the next piece. Okay? Sounds harder than it is. I'll get you going now. Why don't you take 5 to 8 minutes as a group to talk about scope and what is the existing cycle? I'll stop you and bring us back together, okay? Go. Somebody over here, tell me what's in your system.
What's the scope? Yeah. First of all, we haven't got the scope cycle there. We have the status quo cycle. That's what's happening
okay.
Now.
All right.
And it's we were going to get back up and get the scope cycle.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, no problem solving process is linear. You need these steps, but you don't necessarily get them A, B, C. Oftentimes
okay,
it's A, B, back
helps
A.
With the
scope cycle has got to include the outside forces that you spoke of, which would be the export markets. It would include include the federal legislation, which influences what crops get planted.
Okay. All right. So stop right there. The very important point. Listen up, group two. You start with the scope of the system. What's inside the system? What's out? The solution to breaking out of that cycle may be contained within that scope, or it may be that you've got to broaden that scope. That you have to think about a larger system that works on that system. Be able to figure that out, in which case you'll probably focus on some of the external spark things, okay? Give me the cycle that perpetuates the status quo and the plight of the small farmer in this country today. Somebody over here.
Overproduction.
Now see, this is what happens when I draw the thing up there. Explain it. Come on. Somebody.
Say the question again.
What is the perpetuation of the status quo that's going on in the small farmer?
Well, the small farmer is trying to stay in business against with the pressure for lower that exerted on him by lower prices. What that usually means, if he's trying to stay a small farmer, he's going to buy an extra section of land so that he can increase buy another set of machinery and reduce his per unit capital costs.
Yes.
Get to compete.
Yes.
But if he doesn't manage to stay a small farmer, there'll be the so-called corporate farm may come in.
Okay.
But it'll be a larger and larger farm anyway. That's going to be that's been the trend, and that will encourage or make possible the lower market price, which includes more pressure on the small farmer again.
Got it. People are consolidating farms. They're using more equipment. High capital equipment, right? The technology. Okay, that's reducing their cost per bushel, their yield, whatever it is. That puts pressure on the market. So that means that in the markets, lower prices will be paid. That puts more pressure on small farmers to decrease their cost per unit, per bushel, or whatever. And that puts more pressure on them to either wrap themselves into larger operations, buy more operations, or to get out and be consolidated, to be subject to higher capital market farming practices.
And the big influence on that is from that larger scope that you're talking about, which rewards the larger farms for producing certain crops, which means we get overproduction in certain crops, or whether they're animal or.
All right, so basically here, one idea is that their supply and demand is pushing down the price. The other idea is that federal subsidy is pushing down the price, and both things could be true.
I'd have to ask the question, so what? Who cares?
Yeah. Well, what they want to do is talk about that cycle and its effect on the small farmer.
Yeah, but
see, what I'm saying is, why is it even a problem? Isn't there something in the larger culture that says that small farming is valuable?
It's a very simple answer. What I see is the only people that are making it now are the ones that are breaking out of the cycle and joining cooperatives.
That's right.
You can't pass down a farm to your son. The Wilberstone family is a perfect example. How many acres do they have? The last time I talked to them, they said, we sent our son to college. He is prepared not to be a farmer if this doesn't work, and we think in 5 years he will sell this beautiful land that's right out by Big Canoe, and he'll have to sell it out to a big cooperative.
Small farmer's over. Job of this group in the next portion of time is to answer the so what question as a part of what you're talking about. Because you're saying this is a negative thing. Right? Now we've described all week positive cycles and negative cycles. Okay, so just because it's a cycle doesn't mean it's negative. You're saying it's negative, and you've got some good reasons to think that. You just need to articulate them. Okay, now, let me do this over here. Because I haven't seen your cycle yet.
We haven't either.
Your job here. Come on, let's go.
Well, you got it. We use their same model. We basically start out with status quo cycle.
Okay, listen up. Group one, group two is going now. Let's hear it.
Hey, you got it. Go ahead. We've been describing status quo cycles as they did.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. And what is it?
Well, there's the violence cycle and the alcohol abuse cycle.
Oh, we get mini cycles now. Okay.
Well, there will be one of them.
You've got a dependent system, as I see it, a dependent third world system right there in that reservation of dependency. The insiders are the tribal people in this case. I think this is speaking for many, many tribal reservations. You have the insiders are the tribal people, the outsiders are the white people, by and large, or the non-tribal people. And you have a system of, you ask what's inside and what's outside. It's a system of, it would be, our government is basically subsidizing a third world country in our midst.
Who was here in this group for the asset-based community development thing? Were you here? Was any of you here for that? How about, yes? Okay, so this doesn't sound like John McKnight. Cycle of dependency. Come on, what's your name, Mary? Nancy, come on, Nancy, spit it back at me. Cycle of dependency. Remember the social service agencies?
Okay, yep.
Anybody?
Basing everything on the negatives.
Yes. Okay, so servicing needs. All right. So then they organize themselves to meet needs.
And that creates dependency.
All right, so the clients, I mean the members of the community have to describe themselves as needy to get service. All right, so then of course there are needs in the community, okay? Now, that kind of takes in the cycle of violence. It kind of takes in the cycle of poverty. But those are other cycles and deserve their own scope. That's why you got to decide. Is that the scope? Is that what you want to do? That's the whole thing now, right? Now we've got the who's servicing the needs. And what you're saying is the feds, right? Those other people who are the federal government. And then who are the clients are the Native American Indians, right? What's the tribe? Let's use that instead.
Oh, I just used my example with the Lummies.
What is it?
The Lummi Nation, L-U-M-M-I.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
Where are they?
They're Northwest Washington, and they are...
The Maquis?
Pardon?
They're not people who are the
Lummies. Okay.
That's it, right? The Macaw.
Okay.
No, not the Macaw. No.
Now, you both have cycles. Now,
close.
Here's the next thing to do. Trying to imagine an alternative. What's a positive system? What would be better? So in order to do that, y'all are going to have to decide why you think this is bad, right? So you have to answer this so what question. So what, small farm? So what?
Right.
So then you have to answer a question that says, what would be, utopia? Or at least better than what we got, right? OK? Okay, and then we're going to ask, how do we get Spark to move from A to B? Got that? What would be a more healthy system dealing with this community and this Indian reservation, the Lummi Reservation? Okay, what would be better? We'll pull you back together again. All right. When I've looked at these kind of strategies of change, whether that's lighting a match in the forest and creating a forest fire. Some of you read that poem that I wrote about. Or whether that's about, whether that's internal or it's external, whether it acts on system weaknesses or it acts on just external, would mean change is coming from outside. Okay? Acting, diverting means it's acting on system weaknesses. So what is it that's a problem with this system and a way that it's vulnerable, if you will, to an alternative way of getting to a different direction? Whereas acting on strengths is about, we call it judo, it's about co-opting. It's about using the strengths of the system to move it in a different direction. Let me help you imagine this now. We talked about it in different kind of examples. Here we did housing yesterday, okay? So the problem there was a cycle of poverty, basically, in the housing situation and how you can get out of it. Well, members of the community, so the cycle has to do with the appreciation of property values, say, in a gentrifying neighborhood, say, okay? Or it could be on the urban-rural fringe, you know, where sprawl is pushing up prices of farms, for example, okay? So start up here, bring in Habitat for Humanity. Everybody familiar with Habitat? Okay. And Habitat doesn't charge interest, right? Okay. Interest is a part of our economic system. Okay. But they're saying it's a weakness of that system because it's exploitative, and that's out of the Bible, right? So what they're saying is we're going to pull out of that economic system and no longer charge interest. And it's external because Maynard, what's his name, wasn't poor. It's a system where folks are trying to create partnerships, right? And so there's an external spark to try to rebuild capacity from within. But we're pulling out of the system because we're not going to charge interest. And then the question becomes, and some of the folks said, well, what happens then when it gets sold later if a member leaves their unit? Do they get to realize appreciation in the property value and that sort of thing? Well, another way of doing it, which is still acting on those system weaknesses, is something called a community land trust and a limited equity co-op, which are both real estate ownership strategies. They're used for affordable housing. They're also used for environmental open space collectives. And what they say is, if you are going to make this property affordable at the front end, but if you sell it, you can't get appreciation of real estate. If the market value of real estate has gone up because of speculation and in the local market, you don't get that. What you do is you sell it at the price that you pay plus a little bit of interest in order to be able to keep it affordable for the next family that moves in. An alternative internal strategy, right, and this is something that groups could do internally, is a market rate cooperative. And that says you can sell it for whatever the market will bear. And in that case, what you're doing is you're using the housing as an asset, as a wealth creation strategy. You're saying, here's somebody who's going to buy into the American dream, right? Like everybody else, and have the opportunity to own real estate, and by selling real estate at a high value when they sell it, being able to save up some wealth, okay? And finally up here, in the judo thing, somebody external using the strength of a system to make change, a social loan fund, which would essentially be an external source. And there are socially responsible investments and that sort of thing. But they'll say, we're going to invest in your efforts to create housing, to create businesses, or otherwise. Those housing and businesses are operating within the markets. So what they're trying to do is to give somebody the capital that they need to be able to compete in an existing system. They're going to try to use the strength of the system to build wealth for more people. Okay? So there's four examples. Which one's right? You can imagine sometimes people fight about this. These people and these people. This is a tough fight. Should we limit the equity? and the argument for it, this is keeping these units affordable in perpetuity. And the argument here being, you middle class people don't want these folks to buy into the American dream like you did, right? And so if it's done internally, it's especially hard. Because then you have to say, well, what do we want to do? Okay, other weird examples. Okay, so the forest the tree of life is what? What's good about the tree of life? Why is it so good?
Bears fruit.
Bears fruit.
Rejuvenation.
Isn't it a cycle?
Yeah.
Tree grows, bears fruit, more things grow. And the tree stays, right? The forest is a life cycle thing. So somebody drops a cigarette in the forest and burns it down. And that creates a cycle, and we've learned about how forest fires can rejuvenate. And in fact, they say here, the forests here are 110-year cycle build up. But if they have an external spark, cigarette, then they go up here, and that burns it down. Mutation by radiation, right? So if we changed from short-necked animals to giraffes because there was some kind of radiation, that's external spark. If instead that happens because of the recombination of genes and many millions of different possibilities just happen to come out that way, then it's down here. It's an internal cycle. Asset-based community development, what you all are talking about, goes down here because it's acting on system strengths. The system is built on developing assets. Okay? That's what's already there. We're going to use that system of developing assets to build the strengths of our members instead of the strengths of the social service agency or the federal government or whoever's on the outside of it, okay? So we're gonna divert it for the benefit of the people who live here or who are part of this disadvantaged group. But we're gonna use assets to do it. We're not going to overthrow the social service agency. We're going to build our own thing. We're gonna create from within. Building communities from within is the title of the book, okay? So what you need to do is to figure out, I want you to divide now these groups into four. And I want you in each of your group to take one of these points here and try to come up with a strategy that gets to your positive cycle through the use of one of these four strategies. Use, you know, a phrase or a sentence or something to describe your strategy. Okay, small farm, cycle of consolidation. The weakness is that it's exploiting and wasting the talents and skills of small farmers as individuals and small towns. And by centralizing everything, it's losing the social capital. So, groups here. We'll start on the left. You all were...
Intervention.
Okay, good. Starting up here.
Well, what we came up with was, number one, would be federal local government tariffs, regulations, support trends not being consistent. Number two would be supply versus demand, what the intervention being that Russia Pacific Rim economy has slowed down and their purchases of farm products have decreased. And on top of that, Argentina and South America are producing the same crops for less, undercutting the U.S., and so they're going there to buy it for less. Seed technology, there's tremendous innovation as far as developing seed that will produce
more. Oh, you're right, for seeds. Oh, I got it. We're talking about seeds now. The word seed technology, you've heard of a seed grant, right?
No. You got all excited
then. No, it's the same thing. Okay, so what you're saying is external sources, either taxes or manipulations of the market or of technology, could be redirected for small-scale operation. That's outside the system. Okay, what's group number two? Right here, these three? And you had what, judo?
Trying to do a judo.
Okay, so.
Well, the strengths of our system of small farms were that it's, that there's two, the social lifestyle considerations, so there's a value system of how you do family and community, but then also in an economic system, the strength is the diversity and perhaps even sustainability because of the smaller system.
Okay, so from outside, how do you make that happen?
What you said, to find those market niches for those small organic farmers, you know, with fancy restaurants in Milwaukee, you know, get a distribution system outside your little small community.
Okay, all right, so we're going to use the strength of the market that's creating this kind of cycle that the here is a little up there, but we're going to use it for smaller scale kind of operations. Hmm? We're going to find market niches. And that's exactly what a business economist would say.
I had a question just as we were talking about the lifestyle question, social values. You know, and you said the answer is a social loan fund. There's 60 acres that's kind of up for grabs in my home community. The community wants to buy it not as a land trust, but as a...
I don't have time.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll ask you later.
Happy that you talked about it later. Yeah, what's this? You all are reform?
Yeah, we're on... No, we're
revolution.
Your revolution?
Yeah, it's in the revolution in the sense that it's returning to something that's been done in the past.
Okay.
We thought of in terms of individual small farmers acting communally, mm-hmm. making the community for marketing as has been done, mm-hmm. also for and in production, because the present technological state of agriculture requires hugely expensive machinery. And so this would be a return to something that people used to do when they were doing thrashing springs, clubbing together to buy, in that case, to thrash.
Okay.
But we need a machinery pool. Unfortunately, it's on the Soviet model, but that's what we need.
Well, wait a minute now. This group here, I'm going to interrupt you. Because they have something to compare that to. What did you all? You were reformed. So you're going to use the market, but you're going to make your change for small farmers.
We're talking about increasing the co-op movement.
Well, how's that different?
The size of it. Economies of scale. Mm-hmm. Purchasing a large.
Yes. Economy. Oh, I agree. But how are you two different?
We're not much.
Not much. Okay. I think maybe the external one needed to pull out of the market more. So self-sufficiency. We don't care what the market says. We're going to produce everything we need to eat right here in our farm. Would be the Amish.
But is that, if he says no, forget it, that will not work.
Oh, well, I didn't say it would work.
that's different.
That's totally different. What we're doing here is generating strategies for breaking out of cycles. Now, the Jacobsons here both felt very uncomfortable with our trying to determine solutions for the reservation. No. You should be able to take this home and apply it in your family. You should be able to apply it to your own community. All right, let's do these four right quick. Okay, here we go. You all were what? Revolution, right? Okay, what did you come up with?
Well, one thing that's happening right now on the border between Nebraska and South Dakota is the Indians are marching into this little town every Saturday in a quiet, peaceful way to protest of that little town selling liquor to their young people. And
they go back on the reservation.
Okay, so they're organizing, and what they want to do is cut the ties to the system strength now, which is this people making money off the exploitation of the dependent, right? And they're going to cut that off by stopping the sale of alcohol, and it's internal because they organized themselves, right? Okay, group two, what were you?
We were the intervention. We talked about possibility of reallocating resource base. Right now it's the Lummies have very few resources, which is typical. Possibly getting more proactive within the white community to see that within the school system, make a higher priority of getting to know the culture and getting to interact with the culture as one.
Mm. Okay, so externally organizing the schools so that they can be more a source of power rather than chattel for the workforce or something. Hmm? I like it. Okay, judo.
All right. We want to look at the Indian Bureau of Administration and tell them to refocus to increase the appreciation of the Indian values, like taking care of people, taking care of their forests, and to restructure the whole focus to bring about appreciation of the Indian in American society and to build trust with all of us.
Not to mainstream the Indians, not to get them into mainstream white American culture, but instead to use their role to actually build and strengthen that, which could be then a source of diversity and learning for mainstream white America. Hmm? Create a new cycle. Hmm? Love it. Over here.
Bring in
So we are internal. We've got internal strengths, which are spirituality, which are just totally ignored by the current system. And what we're going to do is try to use that as a strength and sell it. Hmm? Okay, great. Get it?
Yeah.
Got the difference? It would be interesting to me to talk to each one of you about how that might apply in different situations in your life. But I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
I really thank you for your participation.